Today, the world looks pretty different. But already new problems are being met with new thinking. Researchers are using supercomputers to help discover treatments. Retailers are turning to the cloud to restock shelves more quickly. Teachers are using technology to rethink the classroom. It's not all we can do, but it's a start. IBM. Let's put smart to work. See how we're helping at ibm.com/COVID-19/UK.
This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, June 10th, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster. Chris Jericho is back on commentary tonight. I was very much looking forward to getting Jericho back with us on commentary. Jericho, when he was doing commentary previously, he and Tony Schiavone had great chemistry together. They were the highlight of Dynamite for several weeks when they had taped all of those weeks of television. So tonight, for at least half the show, we got him back on commentary, at least until his brutal assault on someone who I happen to like. Justin Roberts was also back. We haven't seen Justin on television in a very long time. So it's good to have Justin Roberts back on the ring announcing duties for the night. Now, I mentioned at the beginning, for those of you who could understand me, I mentioned that tonight was a good night for tag team wrestling. Tonight was an example of why AEW has a very strong tag team division. I would argue stronger than most companies. WWE, Ring of Honor, NWA doesn't have a big tag team division. We saw tonight why it is a strong suit. I thought the women also impressed. You know, we're going to talk about the women too, because I think they deserve credit for their match as well. But first, we had FTR. FTR was making their in-ring debut tonight against The Butcher and The Blade, who did not come out wearing all white. They actually came out dressed in their traditional, garb. I don't know what the all-white uniforms have been the last few weeks. They look like a couple of milkmen. So they came out. FTR made their arrival in their pickup truck. They made their entrance outside of Daly's place in their pickup truck, came on into the building. Lance Archer, Jake the Snake, they showed them in the crowd watching. They were observing during this match. We saw Arn Anderson. He was in the crowd. He was taking notes. Tully Blanchard was taking notes. Of course, they weren't sitting together. Sean Spears, oddly enough, was not sitting with Tully. He was about five rows behind him, sitting all by himself. Very stoic. That was kind of strange. Remember last week, he was given his glove, his loaded glove. I should have gotten the gym glove. He didn't have his gym glove with, at least I couldn't tell if he was wearing his glove. Now, his glove, I guess, is what gives him his power. Didn't have a lot of power tonight. So FTR, they worked as the babyfaces in this match, which was a little strange because we're so accustomed to seeing them portrayed as the heels or the goofballs, you know, the way the WWE was portraying them there towards the end of their run. But they played the babyface role here in this match. At one point, Cash Wheeler faked a shoulder injury, very convincing, got a roll up out of it, and the heels got the heat on him for a while. So Harwood, Scott Dawson, he got the tag. He ran wild. He dropped Blade with a brainbuster, which was very appropriate given the fact that we had half of the brainbusters sitting in one row and the other half of the brainbusters sitting in another row. FTR, this may have been, I popped huge for this part. This is the part of the match that I popped huge for. Now, I've said on the show before, one tag team that doesn't really get a lot of love, for all the great things I could say about the tag team division and how strong I think it is in AEW, I think back to a tag team that doesn't get enough credit. They never had a lot of success. They didn't have a tag team title run or anything. But if you remember the team of Power and Glory in WWE, Paul Roma and the Mighty Hercules, they put the two of them together as a tag team in 1990. I'm thinking by 91, they were already dissolved. Hercules had left the company. But for their short run, relatively short run together as a tag team, whatever it was, maybe a year, they had one of my favorite all-time tag team finishers, where Hercules would hit a superplex off the top rope to their opponent. And while the opponent was in mid-flight landing, Paul Roma had already launched himself off the top for a huge splash. And they used to call it, it was the old Powerplex. That was the name of their finish. They used to call it the Powerplex. I love that move. Just the way they would hit it. I love that move. It's too bad they didn't have more success than they did. Well, we got a Powerplex here in this match. FTR busted out the old Power and Glory Powerplex. Too bad they only got a near fall out of it. I popped for that. Now, the Shatter Machine. We weren't sure if they were going to be able to call it the Shatter Machine. Probably not. In fact, they're not calling it the Shatter Machine. It now has a new name, and the name of the move is now the Goodnight Express. So for a tag team that fancies themselves very old school, classic tag team wrestling, mat wrestling, the fact they would go with the Goodnight Express, nice little play on words, I like it. Not a bad name. Shatter Machine was pretty cool, but Goodnight Express is not a bad name. They used it, though, as a setup move. It was not their finisher here in this match. It was a setup move to their finish, which in this match was the assisted spike pile driver to the Butcher that they referred to as the Mindbreaker. So apparently the Mindbreaker is either their finish or it's going to be one of their signature moves. Very appropriate they would use the assisted spike pile driver, given the fact that they had the Brainbusters sitting in the audience. That was their move when they were in WWE together. That was their finishing move. And the reason I say that it may not be their finish, you know, maybe it'll be one of their signature moves, I wonder if they used it tonight just because Arn and Tully were in the crowd, kind of paying homage to them. I could see the Shatter Machine, whatever, you know, the Goodnight Express, being their finish going forward. They just decided not to use it tonight. I don't know. We'll see. But I like the fact they kind of mixed it up with some classic tag team moves. After the match, Tony Schiavone was interviewing them in the ring, and they were interrupted by the Young Bucks. Young Bucks came out. They wanted to congratulate FTR on a great match. They introduced themselves. They said that, look, we're the guys that have been carrying tag team wrestling now on our backs for years. And as they're, you know, getting all cocky, the Butcher and the Blade, they attack the Bucks from behind. FTR comes to their aid. Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc run out. They attack. Hangman Page and Kenny Omega followed. And so we were left with Hangman and Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and FTR, all in the ring at one time. I thought this was an excellent debut in the ring for FTR. Give Butcher and Blade credit, too. I don't want to just put it on FTR. I thought they had a really enjoyable, really good tag team professional wrestling match. This was, as debuts go, I thought this was excellent. And like I said, very enjoyable. I mean, like, how could it not be? When you're busting out the old Powerplex and the old, you know, Brainbusters stuff pile driver, how can you not say positive things about that? I mean, come on. I talked about one tag team match, and I told you at the beginning of the stream that this was a good night for tag team wrestling, and the reason is because we opened the show with not one but two very good tag team matches, and as good as the FTR match was, I enjoyed the women's match as well. We had Nyla Rose and Penelope Ford against Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander. And Britt Baker, gotta love Britt Baker, she's in the crowd. She's with her Rolls Royce, right? She's in her wheelchair on whatever vehicle it was, golf cart, whatever it was. She calls it the Rolls Royce. Well, she was in the crowd, she was observing, and she was with Reba. Now, Reba is the former Rebel from TNA. Now, Chris Jericho on commentary referred to her as Reba. He was corrected by Jim Ross and Excalibur, or maybe it was Jim Ross and Tony, who called her, no, it's Rebel. Well, I think Jericho was right. I don't think she's going by the Rebel name in AEW, so it's very possible that they fucked up on that one. This is the thing. Jericho is not even a regular commentator, and he's getting it right. The announcers are getting it wrong. I believe she's Reba in AEW. Reminds me of WrestleMania 8. Bobby Heenan was talking about El Matador coming out just as Reba McEntire was leaving after she sang, the National Anthem or America the Beautiful. They kind of passed each other like two passing ships in the night. On their way down the aisle, Bobby said, "It's El Matador's sister, or Reba McEntire." Bobby would be canceled today if he made that joke. It's very sad. So Chris Statlander, she hit a standing moonsault for a near fall. Penelope Ford came right back with a DDT. This was all designed to help get Penelope Ford over, which you'll see by the finish. She hit a stunner, did Ford on Statlander. Sheeta hit Ford with a knee strike. Superplex to Nyla Rose by Hikaru Shida. So Nyla Rose had one of the cool spots of this match. She had both baby faces draped over the top rope. She went to the top and she hit her leaping knee strike. And she was able to hit both of them on the way down and they both fell. Now, I thought it was a cool spot, but I thought it was kind of silly that she didn't go for the pin. I mean, why wouldn't she go for the pin? Instead, she tagged out to Penelope Ford because, again, this match was designed to get Penelope Ford over and into the conversation as somebody who could challenge for the women's championship. That's why she did it. Sheeta hit a Falcon Arrow on Ford for a near fall. Kip Sabian, as Sheeta hit the ropes, he grabbed her ankle, distracted her. And Statlander hit a tope to Sabian, took him out outside the ring. So the referee is distracted by that. Referee is distracted by the tope. He's looking this way. All of a sudden, Nyla Rose, who's outside the ring, grabs Sheeta's championship belt, tosses it into the ring to Penelope Ford, who whacks her in the head with it. So she uses it as a weapon and uses the perfect plex. The perfect plex to Hikaru Sheeta, and Penelope Ford gets the win for her team. The announcers talked about the fact that, you know, now she's got to be in line for a title shot. I checked the AEW women's rankings. I was curious. I wasn't even sure if Penelope Ford was in the top five. She is, in fact, in fifth. So unless she leapfrogs everybody, she would not be next in line for a championship match, unless we're just ignoring the rankings, which they've done a pretty good job of sticking to. So I assume it's just getting her into the conversation. She's somebody that you have to consider for a future women's championship match. We got a Darby Allin video. He's still not medically cleared. He's very upset about this. But with him, it looked like they were in the back. With him was Tony Hawk. I haven't heard Tony Hawk's name mentioned in a long time. Tony Hawk used to have all those video games. Didn't he have like a new one coming out every year for like PlayStation and stuff? It was like Tony Hawk's whatever the fuck. That's not the name, but he would have like a new game coming out every year. Tony Hawk used to be one of the biggest stars in the world. I don't hear his name mentioned anymore, but there he is. There's Tony Hawk. And he was watching as Darby Allin was practicing his skateboarding moves. He was trying something off a ladder. He was trying to land on the board, go down the ramp, and he couldn't do it. So he kept falling. Now here's a guy who, at least in storyline, is not medically cleared, who took about 8 different bumps off the top of a ladder trying to land onto the skateboard and kept falling down. He would fall on his shoulder. He fell on his hip. He fell on his back. I get the sense that Darby Allin may not be medically cleared for a long time. Finally, though, he did land it. He did stick the landing the last time, so he finally hit it. And that was it. That was the whole video. He high-fived Tony Khan, or Tony Hawk. There's too many Tonys. Tony Schiavone, Tony Hawk, Tony Khan, Tony Soprano. It's too many Tonys. But that was the whole video. So I don't know what to say about it. I mean, it was cool to see Tony Hawk, but I'm not really sure what this was meant to accomplish other than just getting the two of them on camera together. Then we got a Britt Baker video, and she talked about how she's more than happy to be our role model, but she needs respect from us, and that was pretty much the end of that. They went a little too far, I think, with the tag team matches. They opened with two really good tag team matches. It was that point in the show where they really needed to break things up and have a singles match, but instead they went right into another tag team match. And that's, you know, it's a small criticism, but it's a criticism. And we see this sometimes where there's an over-reliance on tag team matches. You got to break it up. You can't have 3 tag team matches in a row. I mean, what is this, Battle Bowl? I thought that was a little bit much. So it was Santana, Ortiz, and Jake Hager against Best Friends and my man, the baddest man on the planet, Orange Cassidy. But before I get to that, let me just shout out some more people here. Darren Berry, thank you for the $2. Tyler Marine, first time donating, been listening to the podcast for 4 years. Wow. I always love hearing that. Eric Sanchez, thank you very much. SlayFox 100 Trons is in the chat. And Food Hive, our good buddy Food Hive, dropping the $5. Says, I'm not going to lie, I popped huge when I saw Grayson and Slim Uno. The Dark Order are growing on me. What up, chat? So you're the one. You're the one who is a big fan of the Dark Order. No, it was good to see them. We haven't seen them in a long time on television. And Justin Roberts, we got some people back from quarantine tonight. First time we saw some of these faces on Dynamite in a very long time. I don't know if they've been on Dark, but they certainly haven't been on Dynamite. So, like I said, it was the Inner Circle against Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. Chris Jericho, early on, might have been before the bell, Hager just demolished Orange Cassidy, and he laid him out on the stage. Chris Jericho on commentary said Hager looks like he's beating up the 15-year-old version of himself. I don't know how that makes me feel, since everybody always compares me to Orange Cassidy, and here Chris Jericho on commentary is talking about him like he looks like he's 15 years old. I'll have you know, I'm not 15 years old. I don't look a day over 17, so I don't want to hear that shit. So he laid out Orange Cassidy. He was out. Got the same hair I had when I was 15 years old. That I do have. That I do have, but not for much longer, thankfully. So this was very basic stuff. This really wasn't so much a match as much as it was just building to an angle at the end. Orange Cassidy got a hot tag. He ran wild. Hit a double poison Rana to Santana and Ortiz. That was very impressive. Went up top. Hager cut him off. All six guys jumped in. The whole thing broke down. So they isolate Orange Cassidy. They got him all by his lonesome. Santana, he was setting it for the street sweeper. Chuck Taylor shoved him off the top rope. He went, took a header outside. And with that, Orange Cassidy won the match with a crucifix. Crucifix on Ortiz. And so Orange Cassidy picks up the win, and Jericho lost his mind. Jericho had his baseball bat with him. Calls it Floyd. So he left the announce booth, and he took a baseball bat to Trent. He took a baseball bat to Chuck. He took a baseball bat to Orange Cassidy, who came up bloody. He was busted open. Jim Ross kept talking about blood from his ear. I saw blood on his forehead. I don't know if it came from his ear or not. But he came up bloody, and Jericho knocks him down. So Jericho goes outside the ring. He goes underneath the ring, and he retrieves a bag of oranges, but not just any oranges. Tony Schiavone was very specific. They were blood oranges. Now, I don't know the difference between an orange and a blood orange. What is the fucking difference? Does it look bloody? Does it have like a red hue? I guess I don't eat oranges enough to know. If I saw a bag of oranges under the ring, I would say, oh, he's got a bag of oranges. Tony Schiavone said, I can't believe it. It's a bag of blood oranges. Okay. That's supposed to be more intimidating? Do they hurt more when you get hit by them? Are they poisonous? Is it like the poison berries that your parents told you as a kid? Don't pick them off the bush because they're poisonous. You'll die. That's what my parents told me. I don't know if they were bullshitting me, but I didn't touch those berries, I'll tell you that much. Well, Jericho got a sack. He grabbed his sack from underneath the ring. Clearly, this whole thing was a setup from the very beginning. Why else would there be a bag of oranges underneath the ring? And he took his giant sack of blood oranges, which Tony Schiavone said looked to be every bit of 20 pounds. Again, I don't know how you measure that. Okay. Now he's able to measure it just by looking at it, apparently. Tony Schiavone must be a big fan of the blood oranges. All right, people are telling me apparently a blood orange is a grapefruit, or they're red inside. Okay, I've never had a blood orange before. I've had a tangerine. I mean, I've had oranges. I don't like them. Orange-flavored vitamin water is my favorite, but I don't go around eating oranges. So I'm an apple guy. I'd hang out with QT Marshall and not Orange Cassidy. There's nothing wrong with that. So Jericho hit him with his sack. And then he got on the microphone. He said, Blood Orange Cassidy has been juiced. And then he ate an orange. So clearly they're setting up Jericho and Cassidy for Fyter Fest. And it makes you wonder, you know, maybe at Fyter Fest they go in there, they have a match. Mike Tyson makes an appearance. Maybe a little bit of a distraction. Orange Cassidy picks up the win. Jericho's furious. Could be the beginning of the build to, or not the beginning, but it could be the next step in the build to Jericho and Tyson. Maybe it all out. September 5th. We'll see. But clearly this is building to Jericho and Blood Orange Cassidy at Fyter Fest. Hey, Jared, thank you for the $20, my friend. Jared, always with us each week. Always good to hear from the one and only
Jared with the super chat.
Thank you, Jared. MJF. MJF. He did not wrestle tonight, but MJF did join us. And he was doing a promo with Tony Schiavone at ringside. He was very upset. He said he's been undefeated for over a year, and yet somehow Jungle Boy Jackoff over there has gotten a TNT championship match, and he's getting opportunities. MJF, where's his opportunities? He says, I'm a great white shark. Now, next to him was Billy Gunn. You can't miss him because the guy is a big son of a bitch. Bigger than MJF. Standing right next to him with his son. Billy Gunn Jr., we'll call him. Austin Gunn. Gotta mention the son's name. But he butted in. Billy Gunn butted in. He had some words for MJF. MJF, of course, verbally attacked him. And he made a comment. He said he's shocked that Billy isn't trying to get another one of his worthless sons a job with AEW. And at that point, Billy Gunn grabbed him by the wrist. Roman Reigns here grabbed him by the wrist. And MJF cried. He called Wardlow over. Wardlow came over. And this is your weekly reminder, as I watch Wardlow and Billy Gunn face-to-face, nose-to-nose, that Billy Gunn is a deceptively large human being. He is a very big man, and he, in fact, will be wrestling on Dynamite next week. I'll run down the card for next week in a little bit. We had Colt Cabana against Sammy Guevara. They kept this short. Guevara took advantage. There was a misstep by Cabana. He was going for the Chicago skyline. He slipped on the top rope, and Sammy got him on his shoulders. He hit the GTS for the win. I thought, I kind of chuckled there because, I mean, come on. Colt Cabana doing the JOB to the GTS. I mean, there is some humor in that. Maybe not for him, but there is some humor. A much-needed win for Sammy Guevara. Both these guys came into this match as losers. Even the announcers said, both these guys need a win. Sammy Guevara is very entertaining. And I had this debate with somebody the other day. I think it was on PWR on Fight. But and I'll be on there again this weekend. But we were talking about, does Sammy Guevara need to win? Does it matter if he wins? You know, my whole thing is he doesn't have to win. He doesn't have to go on a win streak. You know, Sammy Guevara is not fucking Goldberg. He doesn't have to win every match he's in. But yes, I believe at some point that you need to win a match. I mean, call me crazy, but wins and losses do still matter. And I thought AEW had indicated to us at the beginning that wins and losses were going to mean something. You know, Sammy Guevara is part of Chris Jericho's faction. Jericho's one of the top stars in the company. Again, call me crazy, but yes, I do believe that Sammy Guevara should win a match here and there. This was a gimme. I mean, this was a slam dunk. Colt Cabana has been on a rough streak. I mean, if Sammy didn't win here, I don't know. I wouldn't have known even what to say about that. But much needed win for Sammy Guevara, especially after the Inner Circle lost their match earlier in the show. It seemed kind of obvious they'd pick up a win here. So Cabana is down, and you know he's licking his wounds. Out comes the Dark Order. And the Dark Order comes out, they all line up, and as one of the chatters mentioned earlier, we got our first appearance on Dynamite in a very long time by Stu Grayson and Evil Uno, who did look a little slimmer than the last time I saw him. I guess he's been on that quarantine diet. So we got the collective Dark Order together for the first time in a very long time. Brody Lee comes out, Mr. Brody Lee, and he extends a hand to Colt Cabana to help him to his feet. And as the Dark Order leaves, Colt Cabana is lagging a little behind, but he follows to the back. And a little bit later on, we have Dasha, you know, backstage, and she catches Colt Cabana in the hallway, and he goes up to Brody Lee's locker room, and he's knocking on the door, and they let him in. So they are continuing this storyline with Colt Cabana. Is he going to join? Is he not going to join? I assume he's going to join. Or maybe he'll wrestle against them and then join, some combination of that. But clearly that's where this is going. He's down on his luck. And maybe the Dark Order can help turn his fortunes around. Although the Dark Order has not exactly had a lot of luck themselves. Even Brody Lee, he lost at Double or Nothing. So maybe it'll be Colt Cabana just joining another group of people who can't win a match. In that case, he'd be right at home. So Sammy was in the ring still. He was celebrating his win. Matt Hardy walked out. This was not Matt Hardy, Broken Matt. This was regular Matt Hardy. And He told Sammy, you know, you need to get away from Chris Jericho. He's holding you back. You need to get away from Chris Jericho. Sammy said, you tried to kill me on more than one occasion. You tried to kill me more than once. Why would I listen to you? Why would I take any advice from you? And not for nothing, he's got a point when he says that. All of a sudden, Matt morphs into Damascus Matt. Right there on the spot. Possesses his body. He becomes Damascus Matt. And that kind of scared Sammy off. Look, there needs to be a match at the Hardy compound between these two. We need to see Sammy Guevara. We've seen him now chased by a horse. We've seen him chased by a golf cart multiple times. It's becoming his gimmick where he gets chased by things or animals or other people, vehicles. If this isn't building to something where he goes to the Hardy compound, then I don't even know what the point of any of this even is. Fighter Fest. Sammy Guevara goes to the Hardy compound. Please. That's where this needs to lead to. We got a Joey Janela video. He has been down on his luck. He's been at the bar drinking. He says, you know, went from headlining a show with Jon Moxley 6 months ago to losing and not doing much of anything. So he's down on his luck. And he wonders, he goes, I wonder if my best days are behind me. What would his best days be? Spring break? I mean, he's promoted some very successful independent shows. I mean, would that be considered his best days? I mean, in the ring, Joey Janela, I mean, has he had his best days? That's not meant to be an insult. I'm just saying, I'm trying to think back to, was there a period that I missed, either at AEW or outside of AEW, of like Joey Janela in the ring, where it was Joey Janela at his best? Because, I don't know, I haven't seen it yet. But anyway, he's walking home and Sonny Kiss pulls up right next to him, asking, hey, what are you doing? And Sonny Kiss pulls up in a convertible. Gives him a ride home. AEW Dark must pay well. I have never seen Sonny Kiss on Dynamite. If Sonny Kiss is anywhere, he's usually on AEW Dark, and apparently the paychecks on Dark are really good. So they flashed to be continued at the end of this. So obviously this is a part of a storyline, and we'll see where it's leading to. It's Alex Marvez, he tracked down Jon Moxley in the parking lot. Jon Moxley was in a really bad mood. He said that the fact that Brian Cage and Taz think that they can beat him just pisses him off. Just makes him angry and it pisses him off. It's what drives him. It's what makes him want to be more violent, he says. Taz shows up. He says, boy, you know, you move your mouth a lot. You've been talking a lot of shit. And as Taz is yelling at him, from behind comes Brian Cage. He knocks down Moxley. He's beating him up in the parking lot. Moxley grabbed, I think it was a pipe or something. He took a swing at Brian Cage. Cage ducked. He knocked out the passenger window on this car, this little red car that was parked there. Cage was going to powerbomb Moxley on the trunk of the car. Taz stepped in and calmed him down. Said, don't do it. Save it. Save it for later. Trying to talk him out of it. So he didn't powerbomb him, but he did pick him up and he body slammed him on the back windshield. So apparently Taz is not able to control his man. Or is he a machine? Remember Lucha Underground? I'm not a man, I'm a machine. That was his whole gimmick. I don't know if that was his gimmick in Impact as well. He looks like one. He definitely does not look like a normal human being. Main event was Cody defending his AEW TNT Championship against Mark Quinn of Private Party. Hey, JD Wanko, thank you for the $5 disappointed solemn monster super chat. I'm never disappointed when I see JD Wanko in the chat. So again, Cody and Mark Quinn, one half of Private Party. Mark Quinn in storyline had hurt his ankle a few weeks ago, and that was a big focus here in this match. I like the idea of Cody working with opponents that normally we wouldn't see him working with. Again, very similar to the way they did the John Cena Open Challenge with the U.S. title, but I don't know, I was expecting more. The match was good, it was fine, but there wasn't really anything special about this match, to be perfectly honest with you. I enjoyed the opening tag team matches more than I enjoyed the main event. It just felt like this could have been a real breakout performance for Mark Quinn, and he was fine, but there really wasn't anything overly special about this. So he was trying to fight through the pain, his ankle was bothering him. He tried a springboard move at one point, fell off the ropes, selling the ankle. But he did manage to pull off a 450 splash to Cody onto the stage, onto the ramp, I should say. Hit a shooting star press inside the ring. Cody, on the way down, though, he caught him in an ankle lock. And Marquen fought, and he fought, but couldn't take the pain. He tapped out. That I did like. I did like the fact that they kind of continued the storyline with the injury, and Cody won with something other than the Cody cutter or the crossroads. You don't always have to win with your move. So that part of it I did like. But overall, match really wasn't anything to sing home about. Didn't feel like a main event. So Jake Hager, speaking of not feeling like a main event, out comes Jake Hager. He's the last one I need to see in a main event. But he comes walking out. He goes after Arn Anderson in the corner, who is in the ring. And, of course, Cody went after him. Out comes Matt Hardy. Out comes Private Party. They all chase off Hager. Now the Inner Circle has emerged. They jump into the ring, and a giant brawl breaks out. Referees come out to break him up, and that's how they go off the air. Cody took the microphone. He said, "You want me? Fyter Fest, you got me." And so now we have a TNT title match for Fyter Fest. Every championship will be on the line. Fyter Fest, two nights over 2 weeks, July 1st and July 8th. And so Cody will defend against Jake Hager. Next week, MJF takes on Billy Gunn, who will have his son Austin in his corner. Apparently they call themselves the Gunn Club. What? Is that like an official name? Have they been like tag team partners on Dark? The Gunn Club? Okay. I guess that's their name. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page defend their AEW tag team titles against the Natural Nightmares, Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall. QT Marshall, earlier in the show, Dustin is he's very worried that QT is taking his eye off the apple. Yeah, they're going to be wrestling for the tag team championship, and he's got his eyes on Allie. And Dustin is telling him, you got to keep your eye on the prize. Well, I don't know about you people. Allie would seem to be the prize. I think QT Marshall has his eyes on the prize already. So if I were QT Marshall, I'd be telling Dustin to shut his pie hole and mind his own freaking business. But they're wrestling for the tag team titles. Chuck and Trent are the best friends. They have asked for a match against Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. We were told that Tony Khan has approved the match. That will take place next week. And if Jericho and Sammy win, and they may not, you know, it kind of seems like, well, they're probably going to win. I'm going to guess that they don't win just because it seems like Jericho and Orange Cassidy is going to be the match at Fyter Fest. And with the comment that Matt Hardy made, we might start seeing some kind of a rift between Sammy and Jericho. So if you ask me to predict an outcome there, I think it's still going to be the best friends challenging Hangman and Kenny Omega at Fyter Fest. But Jericho and Sammy are getting the shot or getting the match. And if they win, they get the tag team match for the championships at Fyter Fest. And the Young Bucks take on Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc. And Cody will defend the TNT title against an opponent to be named. We don't know who it's going to be. We didn't even know who the champion was going to be until the main event was over. It is Cody. Who he defends against, we'll find out. They'll probably announce it during the week. So, but you know, that's a lot of matches they've announced in advance, kind of a loaded lineup. And one of the things that I like, you know, the fact that they take the time to announce a lot of matches in advance, kind of get people, you know, try to get them excited for what's coming up the week after. So I thought on the whole, a good show. I like the opening tag matches, but you got to break them up better. You can't go from one tag to another to a third. You got to put a singles match in there. You got to break things up a little bit. I know they probably did things in a certain order for a reason, but to me, you can't do three tag team matches in a row. You got to break that up somehow. But I did like the show. Overall, I did like the show. The main event, though, did not feel worthy of being in the main event spot. It felt like the main event of the first hour, not the main event of the show. Alrighty, so let me see what's going on here, all you crazy cats. Brian Becerra is joining us tonight, one of our longtime feds. Dry chicken without flavor yet again. Says he was watching RoboCop, the original from 1987. Great movie. Did not see the remake a few years ago. Don't want to, don't have to. I wish people would stop remaking movies that have no business being remade. I just read about another movie they're what the hell's the name of it? They're remaking another classic movie that has no business being remade. If you're going to remake movies that sucked. Try to make them better. Go remake Battlefield Earth. Actually, there's probably no saving that movie. But the original RoboCop is like the original Die Hard. Fantastic movie. Says, every time I see you on webcam, your hairstyle reminds me of Officer Alex Murphy. Well, I certainly hope I don't meet the same fate as Officer Alex Murphy. That scene from the original RoboCop, no joke. I mean, I was way too young when I watched that movie. I don't even remember exactly how old I was, but I was too young. I was too young to be watching that movie, and I saw that scene, and to this day, that scene scares the shit out of it. It scarred me for life. Scarred me for life. Do not show your kids that movie, please. Don't be like my dad. That was a very stupid thing that he did. Rodimus Prime, thank you for the 25. Appreciate it. Here's the AEW poll. Almost 700 votes in so far. 81% up, 18% down, as we see Magician Sapphire coming in with the $10 Russo on a poll draw. Long-term booking, multiple angles, putting lesser talent over in a wrestling show. What sorcery is this? Says Magician Sapphire. And here's the NXT poll. Also, almost 700 votes, 73% up, 27% thumbs down. Go to @Solomonster right now on Twitter. You guys can vote. Let your voices be heard. Also here, before we move on, I just want to mention this before I forget. We do have another pay-per-view coming up this weekend, in case you didn't know. We just had NXT this past weekend, which was a very good show. Very hard to get a bad takeover show. Although this might have been the weakest of the ones I've seen in a very long time. But this Sunday is Backlash, where we may well bear witness to the greatest wrestling match ever. So Backlash is coming up Sunday, and I will be here live on YouTube as soon as the show is over to tell you why it was not the greatest wrestling match ever. But it may be a very good wrestling match. They may go in there and have a very good wrestling match. I'm going to try to get my predictions up in the next couple of days. I'm thinking about maybe going live after SmackDown Friday night. We'll see. Or maybe later in the day tomorrow, I'll get something up. I don't know. I'll let you guys know on Twitter. But anyway, I will definitely be live on Sunday night, so I hope you will all take the time to join me then, right here on the YouTube channel. Okie dokie, Smokey. So, with that being said, after a rather fun, I thought, rather fun episode of Dynamite, let's see if I'm alone in that opinion. I get the sense I probably am not, but I'll let 416 fill me in on whether or not he thinks I'm right or wrong. Or not. Well, I guess 41, I guess I must have scared him off. 817. Hello? Boy, we are off to a great start. I'm going to try this one more time, and if not, we're going to call it quits because I'm not going to do this all night. So let's try 3-2-1, I believe this is from Florida. 3-2-1.
Hello.
Is it me? Is it possible that it's me? Okay. There you are. I didn't hear you there for a second. I thought maybe it was me. Who am I talking to? Apparently I'm talking to no one. Okay, well, that's cool. I like talking to myself. If I were walking down the street and I saw somebody talking to themselves, I would probably call Bellevue and I would have them committed. I would probably have them put in a straitjacket and taken to a padded room. I feel like I'm that person right now. I'm just shouting random numbers out into the air, talking to myself. Kind of losing my mind here. Apparently, I'm going to guess that there's an issue with the phones because that doesn't make sense. So I don't know what happened, but the joys of technology, I'll have to figure it out. But anyway, let me just say thank you to Spanish Goddish. As all of this was going on, he sent in a question in Super Chat. Says, I feel like they're going to do a Four Horsemen type of stable with Sean Spears, FTR, and EC3. Also, prediction, Utah Jazz 2020 NBA champions. Have the Jazz been doing well? I haven't been following what their team has been like the last few years. I'll make a prediction. The Utah Jazz will win a championship before the New York Knicks do. There's my prediction. I know it's not really a very bold prediction. So again, I'm sorry to everybody who was trying to call in. I know we had a whole bunch of people. The lines were all jammed up. But again, I thought that overall the show tonight, not this one, but Dynamite was very good. I'll check out NXT and have some thoughts on that this week. And of course, this NXT show tonight was the one coming out of the TakeOver show. We'll have to find out, I guess, what happened. I saw Adam Cole earlier in Storyline mentioned that Roddy and Bobby Fish were returned home safely after being kidnapped by Dexter Lumis. So perhaps Dexter Lumis will be next in line for a championship match, which seems like a bit of a strange match. You know, kind of Dexter Lumis going from wrestling a bunch of scrubs on TV and having one match against Roddy. Right? He had a singles match against Roderick Strong that he lost. Then possibly challenging for the championship? I don't know about that. But Dry Chicken Without Flavor says New Japan is back. Yes, I am very excited about that. That is good news. New Japan is coming back within, I think it's next week. They're going to be running their first shows, Empty Arena. So this is the first phase of reopening, I guess you would say, for New Japan. And I, for one, have been waiting a while for New Japan to come back. It was too bad that, you know, they had to cancel a whole bunch of events. But barring any issues that may arise, because look, things can change on a dime. Who's to say that things don't go south again and they have to shut down? Hopefully that doesn't happen. But it sounds like they've got a handle on things right now in Japan. And so hopefully this is the beginning of a slow reemergence for the company. And hopefully they'll be able to have the G1 later this year. Now, the thing is, they don't have any foreigners. So a lot of the American talents, they will not have. But, and I guess Tiger Mask is apparently in rough shape. The Tiger Mask was going to appear on some New Japan shows, and he's suffering from colonic diverticulitis, which sounds like it sucks. I know people who have diverticulitis. Diverticulitis is what almost took out Brock Lesnar. Colonic diverticulitis sounds even worse. So hopefully he'll be okay, but he will not be on any of these New Japan shows. But that's fine. You know, having none of the Americans and certain Bullet Club members who might be missing, that's fine. It'll be good just to get NJPW back. I have missed them. You know, even just the big shows. When you don't have them around, you know, they say you don't know what you got till it's gone. New Japan is a great example of that. And so I am looking forward to seeing them back. Boy, this phone thing really pissed me off. You should have seen all the furniture that I broke here in this apartment when I took that little break trying to figure out exactly what happened. I'll tell you what, though. You know, people, I'll stay on the air for a little while longer. If people want to, we still have super chats coming in. So if there are super chats with questions coming in, I'll take a few questions that way. We'll do something a little bit different. We'll do a little impromptu Q&A. Spanish Goddess again, thank you. What do you think of Chris Bay? I am not that familiar with Chris Bay. So to be perfectly honest with you, I don't really have a whole lot to offer as far as an opinion, unfortunately. I'm just not as familiar with him as maybe I should be. And T-Bane, thank you, man. T-Bane says that he has listened to the show only on his podcast feed, wanted to tune in live. Well, I wish I had a better show to deliver to you. Normally, we'd be taking calls. We'd be going back and forth with people. But yeah, hopefully you can join us live more often. We always have a good time. We always have a good time here on the street. Tamara Davis, what do you think about Scorpio Sky as a solo act? I think that AEW is probably hopeful that at some point they'll be able to push him as a single star. Now, he had that match with Chris Jericho on Dynamite back in late last year? I think it was November or December of last year. You know, he had a good showing for himself. He's a talented guy. Christopher Daniels clearly is on his way down on his, you know, he's at the tail end of his career. Frankie Kazarian probably doesn't get enough credit for you know, the talent that he is, but Scorpio Sky is the one of SCU who I think could go on to be successful. I think Scorpio Sky at some point could be a very successful, you know, TNT champion. I don't know if he'll get to the point where he could be AEW champion. It could be a while. This is a lot of other people ahead of him right now. But I could see him as a contender for the TNT title, absolutely. JC Zephyr Meant to call in and ask this, so I'll ask here. Think AEW will benefit for showcasing a King of the Ring-esque tournament, but doing so for tag team wrestling? So, like, basically, like a tag team version of King of the Ring. Yeah, you know what? I could see that. Sure. I kind of joked earlier they were having so many tag team matches. I mentioned Battle Bowl because I just got done talking about the night Stevie Ray almost murdered Vader backstage at Battle Bowl back in '93. So I had Battle Bowl on the brain. That was the whole concept of that was random teams being put together. I actually think the Battle Bowl concept could work in AEW. They might not be able to use that name. But yeah, I'm down for that. I mean, their tag team division is strong enough where they could do something like that as like a themed episode of Dynamite. Now, the thing is, they only have 4 pay-per-views a year. You're not going to waste one of those 4 pay-per-views turning it into a tag team show. So if it were me, like they're doing with Fyter Fest next month, I would maybe have like a themed episode of Dynamite and do some kind of tag team tournament. Boy, you know, there's got to be some kind of payoff though, right? So if unless the titles are vacant, winners get a tag team title shot. That I guess that would be the obvious play as far as what you get for becoming the winners of the tournament. But yeah, I think that could work. Maroa with the super chat drop. Why do you think people assume that Cody will turn heel? Last I checked, focusing on someone's weakness was Wrestling Psychology 101, or no? I think people are probably talking about Cody maybe going heel just because there were certain things in his matches that he was doing. I mean, not tonight, but the talk about Cody maybe going heel has been going on for a while. He was saying, and not even saying, but just doing things that could be perceived as kind of heelish. I mean, I kind of joked about what happened to his wife and, you know, he was nowhere to be found, right? He had been on the show earlier that night. Then they at least tried to explain it on commentary by saying, oh, he was at the other end of the stadium or something. But I think it's just something people kind of ran with. I don't see him turning heel anytime soon. JD Wanko, thank you. Jason Jimerson, thoughts on Mr. Wrestling 2 passing away? Very sad. I feel like I've been talking about wrestling deaths every week for the last like 2-3 months. Every week it's like someone new, whether it's like a writer for a wrestling news website or a famous wrestler, a famous legend. This has been for a lot of reasons, obviously, this has been a shit year. But no, I mean, it's sad. Another wrestling legend gone. I mean, obviously, he lived a long life. You know, it wasn't like he was a young man. I didn't see exactly what if it was just natural causes or if he had been dealing with any particular illness. Jim Ross did mention him tonight. There was a brief Mr. Wrestling name drop. Again, I'm not as familiar with his work. I've read about him. I'm aware of his career. I can't tell you that I'm overly familiar with his work. Obviously, he was before my time. But I was very sad to hear about that. You know, he had made appearances at different wrestling conventions, too. You know, people loved taking their picture with him. He'd wear the mask. T-Bane, thank you. Reek Sun, do you think Cage should beat Moxley? And what are your thoughts on Tony Hawk Remastered and Bill and Ted 3? You know, I didn't know there was a Bill and Ted 2. I vaguely remember seeing the first Bill and Ted. I was never really a big Bill and Ted fan. So I honestly didn't even know they had made a second movie. And I probably won't see the third. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't go see it. Tony Hawk Remastered. I didn't play any of the Tony Hawk games, so I really don't care. I just don't. Should Cage beat Mox? It's too soon. It's too soon. I mean, the guy just debuted. I wouldn't have done the match this quickly. I would not have done the match this quickly. I kind of feel like they've maybe put themselves in a box here. Do you just give him the championship and just build him as some big monster? He's a very impressive guy. It doesn't feel like he's at that level yet. He's not ready, I think, to be thrust into that position. But I also wouldn't have Moxley beat him straight up. So then what do you do? What's the ideal finish? Or do you do a non-finish? You do a non-finish, you probably have to do a rematch. You're right back where you were before. That's the issue that I have with it. When I think ahead to All Out or Full Gear, like the big events, the biggest matches they could do involve Moxley. like Moxley and MJF, Moxley and Omega, getting back to that at some point. Moxley and Hangman, if he ever breaks away from Omega. With Cage, who are the obvious guys to put him in the ring with? There's more opponents ready for big matches with Moxley than there are for Brian Cage. For that reason, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't put the title on him yet. Mutahir Majid, your opinions on AEW's crowd of wrestlers against WWE? Oh, AEW's got them beat by a country mile. By a country mile. I enjoy the atmosphere way more on the AEW shows. I'm glad WWE has people in the audience. I've been asking for it for months. You know, it does add a certain energy to the shows that was really lacking before, but you know, you're comparing apples and blood oranges here between WWE and AEW. I mean, the environment at the AEW shows is generally more enjoyable than the crowd in the PC. That, I mean, these poor people are standing there for hours on end. By the time they get to the taping late in the night, they're losing their voices. They're probably being told, you know, probably over the PA system, you got Paul Heyman or Vince McMahon being piped in. Louder, damn it, louder! You know, I hope these people are getting extra pay. Let's see here. Moroa again. Also with him wrestling Orange Cassidy, do you think Tyson versus Jericho storyline got quietly dropped? Or is Tyson going to return at Fyter Fest and cost Jericho? That would be my guess. Yeah, look, I don't believe for a second that there was a deal in place already. It's very possible this thing just goes away. You know, they seem more determined to put Tyson in there with Holyfield or somebody big for maybe like a big charity fight. I don't get the sense that wrestling is necessarily a priority for him and his camp right now. It could have been dropped. I'm gonna assume that there's something here. And at Fyter Fest, we may get another Tyson appearance. Something happens. Jericho loses, maybe. Then he goes nuts. And then it, you know, build. Because look, remember, Orange Cassidy was the baddest man on the planet, right? They were calling him that. I think there's some kind of tie-in with Tyson. I don't think it's been dropped. Reacon said, I don't watch WWE anymore, but where did the tagline greatest wrestling match ever come from? I assume this is tied into the whole the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, the greatest show on earth stuff. It's promoter speak. Edge gave an interview and he thought that they were joking. I guess Heyman and Vince both came to him and said, listen, we're going to call this, or we're referring to this as the greatest match ever. He thought they were joking. Then he realized they were serious. And his first thought was, that's a really tough position to put me and Randy in, because you're already handicapping us. You're telling people in advance this is going to be the greatest match ever. How can you possibly promise something like that? You're just setting expectations way too high. He said that actually took the pressure off, because he just feels like you're setting these expectations that can't be met. So now I'm kind of stress-free and I'm just going to go out there and have the best match I can have. I think it's very unfair. You know, I get that they're promoting a show, but if I'm the people in the match, I'm not a fan of that. Dry Chicken Without Flavor, a Battle Bowl AEW special during Super Bowl week. That could work. Quintus Brown, thank you for the $5. Do you have a problem with Cage and Cross getting title shots so soon? Well, there's another one of those little NXT spoilers. So I assume that means Karrion Kross is getting an NXT championship match. I have to see how it played out on TV tonight. I haven't watched it yet, so that's the first I'm hearing about it. But look, Karrion Kross got a dominant win over Tommaso Ciampa. And I kind of feel the same way I do about Cage. It does feel way too soon. But I have to see how it played out on TV, you know, before I can. My initial thought is the same as it is for Brian Cage. With this difference, though, I will put this out there. The difference is this. Adam Cole has been the NXT champion now for over a year. Adam Cole is just beyond the point of needing to be the NXT champion at this point. What else do you do with him at this point? Because there is nobody left. Like, at least on the babyface side, We've even seen him wrestle Keith Lee. Like, he's already been involved with all of these people except Dexter Lumis. There's nothing left for him. Jon Moxley, there's a lot left for him. He's been the champion since February. Adam Cole's been the champion since May or June of last year, probably. Maybe April. That's the difference. But I have to see how it played out on TV tonight before I can give you a straight answer. Darian Barry, thank you for the 7. Very cool of you. Turtlehead. My man, Turtlehead. Haven't heard your thoughts on the AJ Punk thing. Was it such a big deal that AJ did not comment on the current situation? No, I mean, he could do whatever he wants. He's a grown man. There's a history there with Punk and AJ, and I don't know if it's been played up more than it was, but there was clearly at one time. I don't know if there's still heat there on either side. I don't know. But there was heat there. There's a history between them going back to their independent days many, many, many years ago. I think that might be part of what's coming out here. But no, AJ, he's a grown man. He can do what he wants. Rican Sun, never seen the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies. Are they worth watching? The first two. The third one where they're like samurais or something. Don't even bother with that one. The first one is actually a kind of a dark movie, not for nothing. The one that came out in 1990. It's kind of a dark film. It's actually pretty good. The second one is a lot campier, but you've got Rezar and Toka and Kevin Nash as Super Shredder and Vanilla Ice singing ninja rap. I mean, you got to watch it at least once. Secret of the Ooze? That was a favorite of mine when I was younger. Just to see Kevin Nash as Super Shredder. Super Shredder was the shit back then. I looked all over for his action figure. I couldn't find it. Finally, I found it. That was like the premier, most like sought after action figure at the time. Was Super Shredder. Loving all these movie questions here. Getting a lot of movie questions. Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go, says Bro. I still got that song burned in my head. I had one of those flip books. I don't know where I got it from. Yeah, you know, these little tiny books where they have like still shots from like a certain scene in the movie, and you flip through it really fast, and it's like it's playing the scene. I might even still, the way I hoard shit, I might even still have it laying around somewhere. I was a big Ninja Turtle fan. You know, what a lot of people don't understand or realize is that when the Ninja Turtle comics originally came out, I mean, you talk about dark. I mean, you know, a lot of kids are used to the cartoons that came out in the late 80s, early 90s. The original comic books, I mean, these guys were going around murdering people. You know, the Ninja Turtles were never meant for children. It was a very dark comic. It was just a very dark cast of characters that was kind of kiddied up so they can make a children's cartoon out of it. I don't know that everybody necessarily knows that. But anyway. So I think we'll, if there's no more, I think we'll wind down. This has been fun. Maybe we ought to do this more often. We don't have to do calls all the time. We could just take random questions. Let us just see where we are with the Twitter stuff. There's AEW. And there's NXT. Both very good scores. Another one for the good guys. Wednesday Night Wrestling. Still the best night of wrestling all week long. So I'm going to get out of here. Again, don't forget that this Sunday is Backlash. It is the Backlash review live on YouTube. As soon as Backlash goes off the air, Edge and Randy Orton, greatest wrestling match of all time. Braun Strowman defending the Universal title in a freaking handicap match against a tag team that I'm sure he'll demolish. Oh, joy. Bobby Lashley's getting a shot at the WWE Championship. Good for him. I think there's a chance he might win it, too. I wouldn't change the belt. I wouldn't change the title, but there's a chance. There is certainly a chance he could win it. And Nia Jax is going to challenge Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. You know my thoughts. I made my thoughts very clear on the whole situation with Nia Jax last week. They need to get past this match and march down the road. Whether it's SummerSlam, I don't know how long they're going to wait, but it's got to be Asuka and Shayna Baszler, the two women who at two different points were ruling the roost in the NXT women's division. They need to be on a collision course. They need to be on a collision course with each other. I feel bad for Shayna Baszler, to be perfectly honest with you, because you know the thing with Shayna Baszler, if stories are to be believed, Shayna Baszler was going to win the Royal Rumble. Shayna Baszler, the men's and the women's Royal Rumble matches, originally had different winners penciled in. I believe it was going to be Roman Reigns and Shayna Baszler. And then a week or less than a week before the show, Vince McMahon, I guess, supposedly changed his mind. We had Drew McIntyre win the Rumble, which I approve of. It was somebody different. The stadium went nuts, especially when he eliminated Brock. It was this great moment that he didn't get at WrestleMania, where there was nobody. But the Women's Rumble apparently was going to go to Shayna Baszler, and they decided to give it to Charlotte Flair. And then there was a championship match with Shayna at WrestleMania, and supposedly there was a plan where Shayna was going to win the championship, and that got changed. And then we found out Becky was with child. So at every turn so far, Shayna Baszler has really, you know, it's kind of like she's come to the edge, and then they just don't want to take that final leap with her. At some point, they're going to have to just shit or get off the pot. Either push her as this killer monster, or just get rid of her. Send her back to NXT, for God's sakes. I mean, at some point, she's got to kind of ascend to the throne. I assume that's where this is going with her and Asuka. Unless a week before Vince McMahon changes his mind yet again. That seems to be a recurring theme here, if these reports are to be believed. Uffman Entertainment, thank you for the five. Always show love to Uffman in the chat. You'll see that blue wrench. He's always holding down the fort for us in there. And Reek's son, Jimmy King, to the Hall of Fame. Are you referring to the gentleman from Ready to Rumble? Is that the Jimmy King? Was it Jimmy King? Is that the name of his character from the movie? Who played him? Who's the actor? Oliver, I always forget his name. Somebody in the chat will fill me in. What's that actor's name? The one from Ready to Rumble, the one that played the king. He was also in the movie Lake Placid. He was the whatever he was, the animal expert or the alligator expert. Is it Platt? Oliver Platt? Okay, I guess that's it. I was right. I was going to say Oliver Humperdinck, but that's definitely not the answer. Oliver Platt. All right, I'm going to get out of here. Thank you guys for joining me again. I'm sorry about the phone calls. We had to improvise here, but I think we had a good time. I think this was a good stream. I'll try to get that fixed tomorrow. Hopefully we're back in business for calls on Sunday night. I will see you then. Until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great week. Watch for Backlash predictions probably sometime in the next few days. And I will see you for episode 656 on Sunday and right back here for Backlash on Sunday night. Take care, guys.
Today, the world looks pretty different. But already new problems are being met with new thinking. Researchers are using supercomputers to help discover treatments. Retailers are turning to the cloud to restock shelves more quickly. Teachers are using technology to rethink the classroom. It's not all we can do, but it's a start. IBM. Let's put smart to work. See how we're helping at ibm.com/COVID-19/UK.
To build a professional website with fast hosts, you don't need much. You don't need technical skills to drag and drop design elements into place. You don't need a big budget to get your domain, website tools, and 24/7 support all included. And with the mobile edit feature, you don't even need to be at your computer. All you do need is our website builder. So start your free trial at fasthosts.co.uk/build.